minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the show, I should say. We're just starting all over again, Colfax. That's how we do it.
Back from yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You get me.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. It is a Wednesday. It is the third day of March. Nuggets just absolutely worked Milwaukee. I like to say it like that. 128-97. And Joker does it again. 37 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. How can you not say this guy is at least top three as far as the finalists go? For that MVP race. It's crazy. Michael Porter Jr., not as great of a night. Had 11 points, 7 boards. You know, an okay night. Nothing nutty. Jamal Murray with 24 points, 6 assists. Yeah, just a solid game. Nuggets have now won 3 in a row. They got one more game. So I said last week before the Portland game, I wanted to see this team go 4-2 heading into the All-Star break. And, hey, they've already achieved the 4. They could go 5-1. Which suddenly, you know, you're pretty happy about Denver's situation heading into the break. I mean, they've won, you know, beating the Thunder, beating the Bulls, beating the Bucks. Before they lost to the Wizards, remember, they beat the Trailblazers. So this team's starting to round into form, and this is still without, you know, most of their guys. And you're still, you know, Gary Harris still out, no Paul Millsap. You know, no JaMychal Green. So this is still a kind of a weird situation. How about Bol Bol in a blowout only gets 2 minutes? I was watching one of the videos. I think it's on YouTube, Colfax. Basically, they're doing their little huddle at the end. Mike Malone's telling them what a great win that was, and they put their hands in the middle. Bol Bol's standing, like, away from everybody. Everybody puts their hands in the middle. Bol Bol's just staring. He doesn't even say anything. He's not saying anything. I think he was frustrated that in a blowout win, all he got was 2 minutes. Made a 3-pointer. I don't know. I just don't know that the Nuggets really anticipate him being involved in the rotation this season. And that's okay. He had opportunities. I just don't. Normally, if you see a guy like Bol Bol get more than, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 minutes in a blowout, that means they're wanting to see what he's got because they're going to try to utilize him later on in the rotation. I just don't think that that's the vision right now. Zeke Nagy, I mean, our guy Chris Dempsey wasn't sure that Nagy would get any time this year, legitimate time. Well, he's been playing some meaningful minutes. I don't know how that changes once Gary Harris is back in the fold. And now you're seeing PJ Dozier, you know, his second game back. Okay, this is what we remember seeing from PJ. So still some questions as far as that rotation goes, but now the Nuggets get up. They're 20th win. They're 20-15. Got a lot of work to do in the standings, though. Still sitting at 7th behind Portland, San Antonio, Clippers, Lakers, Suns, and Jazz, man. I mean, this NBA is going to be weird. Western Conference is going to be strange. It's not what it used to be. And Utah and Phoenix. If I would have told you Utah and Phoenix were going to be leading the Western Conference, I think you would have called me crazy because we thought both LA teams, probably the Nuggets, are going to be in that mix. So, we'll see, man. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how this NBA season plays out in the Western Conference. Nuggets, just hope you're there in the thick of it. I don't like Denver in a play-in game. I just don't right now. I'm not saying I would pick them to lose. I just don't feel very good about any given night. I do think Denver can beat any team. But I legitimately think they could lose to any team, too. Based on what we've seen. Now, again, the last 3 games are more of an indication of what I think this team should be. But they got to start putting a lot more wins together before I think they're out of the woods. And I still think that this team needs to finish in the top 4 or 5 if Joker wants to have that real shot at being the MVP. I think he's well on his way. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number, and we'll get rolling. Poll question of the day, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What do you want the Broncos to do with that 9th pick overall? Feels like we've been talking about this forever. When is the damn draft? I just want to see what Denver does. I want to see what they do with Justin Simmons and Von Miller in getting to this draft. Should they draft a cornerback, a linebacker, a quarterback? Should they trade up, trade down? Or should they trade it as a part of a package to land a QB like Deshaun Watson? 50% of the hooligans, that's what's leading. Trade it as a part of a package to get Deshaun Watson. Oh, boy. The draft means nothing to you people. You guys don't understand. I don't get it. 25% saying draft the DB, which is definitely, I would say, is the biggest hole for this team. Nobody thinks they should trade up. Nobody thinks they should draft a linebacker. 0% think you should go with a linebacker, which you have, you know, Micah Parsons. I don't think he'll be there, but Dylan Moses out of Alabama, Nick Bolton out of Missouri, those guys will be there. But, yeah, I'd rather see a defensive back in the first round. Whew, we got a little flack yesterday, Colfax. I'm looking around at some of the comments yesterday on the whole minute video. A little bit on the Ram groups that I'm in. Do you think it was extreme take? Should New Mexico, if you forfeit a game, you don't have a legitimate excuse like COVID. Should you be threatened before that finalized forfeit of leaving the conference? I know there's a lot to it, but you can't just not play games.
Like, that simple L doesn't mean anything to them.
No.
Does it?
Doesn't mean. That's not how you punish them.
No.
They're not being punished for just not playing. Like, they're going to play tonight against CSU. Why are they playing tonight and not? Why didn't they play those games against San Diego State? If I'm CSU, I'm taking that personally. Oh, you think you can actually compete? They didn't want to play San Diego State because they probably thought they were just going to get killed. So you think you can hang in there with CSU? Why not just forfeit that game? I just think if there's not a legitimate excuse, and COVID's a legitimate excuse, you know, big-time tragedies, whatever, there has to be something in the guidelines, man. We're going to talk to Colorado State Athletic Director Joe Parker in the second hour. We have not talked to Joe in a long time. So I definitely want to get his thoughts. He tweeted out last night or yesterday. Let me see if I could pull that up. You know, he responded to a fan. A fan on Twitter said, if CSU basketball wins its remaining games, why will San Diego State likely win the Mountain West title? And Kevin Lytle put out the story explaining exactly that. The fan said, I can't believe this is going to be accepted. It's ridiculous that they would be gifted the title. And then he tagged Joe Parker in the tweet. Joe responded to the tweet. He said, the league ADs make decisions week by week to address the ever-changing landscape. In a meeting with the conference staff and my peers yesterday, which would have been the 1st of March, I asked for discussion on how we can resolve this concern. Unfortunately, there was no interest in revisiting prior decisions. I'm disappointed and frustrated by the unwillingness to reconsider the avoidable unfair impacts for our basketball teams. However, our teams have showed incredible toughness and resilience and both led or co-led the league as of this morning. I know they are focused and ready to take on any challenge put in front of them and continue on the championship hunt. So they basically tried to have a conversation with the Mountain West Conference, and it didn't go so well. I mean, this is the time to make the change, right? This is the time when they should do something that benefits the conference. Although, San Diego State, that's their prize. But, you know, this is what you want in your conference. You don't want your teams that lead typically. Yeah, you want them to never be out of the limelight. They're 19th in the country. But this, again, they would beat New Mexico. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But the idea that they're just given wins that aren't showing up yet, by the way, so it still has all these Rams fans confused, including myself. But you have the Rams sitting at 13-3 and San Diego State sitting at 13-3, but they're gifted two more conference wins at 15-3. And so this was our poll question yesterday, Colfax, was if you agree that there should be the forfeit's fine, then you can't say, but it shouldn't count against the standings. Then what's the point? The win means nothing to you. If it counts in your overall standings, but not your, it shouldn't count at all. It shouldn't. There shouldn't be a forfeit. Shouldn't have allowed it to happen. And there should be some extreme repercussions if you just up and say, I don't want to play. Especially because we've lost so much to COVID. I think it's like it should be even double so, man. I mean, I think you should be looking at it the other way. We had games that were taken from us that, you know, last year, no March Madness, man. I mean, I think it should be highlighted. Hey, if you're going to not play a game, beginner's luck texting in. Okay, I'd go with a linebacker at 9. There we go. We get somebody saying, like, I was wondering. Go vote on that at theholeshow.com, because nobody is saying draft a linebacker at this point, which is a little bizarre to me. 50% of the hooligans say trade it as a part of a package to land a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. Man, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to have Mark Johnson on the program, talk about the Buffs. Do they still have a shot to win the Pac-12? Is there a shot to win the regular season title? We're going to find out 16 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. Again, when we come back, we'll recap a bit more about this Denver Nuggets team. Let's take a look at the standings, a deeper dive into the standings, what that second half of the schedule looks like for the Nuggets when they can make their move, and how deep can they really go? How high can they finish? Do you think that this team is getting it right? So we'll get into all that and so much more. All right, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't know, Colfax. I saw you with it. I saw you walk down the hall with it.
I was sipping it.
You were sipping your coffee.
And now I can't find it.
Now it's nowhere to be seen.
I just checked the whole office, the whole station. I don't even know where it's at.
What's happening here?
No,
something's
idea.
Going on, and I don't like it. And we're going to get to the bottom of it somehow. I mean, you normally put it off to your left,
yep.
Out of my sight. So you always reach over, and I'm like, what's he doing? And then you drink your cup of coffee.
Nice long sip of coffee.
And you're a coffee guy.
I love coffee.
So now that your coffee's gone, I'm like,
I'm kind of freaking out.
I need my fix. Someone playing a practical joke?
They might be. Are you in on it?
I honestly am not.
Okay.
I honestly am not. It sounds like something I would probably like to get involved with, and for sure, but not.
Not this time.
You did threaten to steal one of the other producers around here. You threatened to steal his Girl Scout cookies.
Right, and he is extremely defensive.
Really weird about his Girl Scout cookies.
Almost violent.
Like, seriously. So Michael, those of you that don't know, Michael has filled in a few times, and he's a good guy, but just trying to think of something nice to say.
He's got a beard.
Obsessed with his, kind of got rid of the beard. He is obsessed with Girl Scout cookies. He buys them like 30
like
boxes.
30 boxes.
He put them back there in the green room, in the waiting room here where guests wait, and he splayed them out all over the desk and took pictures of them.
And then, as friendly staff members, can we have one of those?
No. It was like violence. Like you, because he'll offer you anything else.
Yeah.
A stick of gum.
Mountain Dew.
Potato chip, Mountain Dew, whatever.
Anything.
But you ask for the cookies, and he freaks out. Well, because they only do them once a year, I guess, right?
I guess.
I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to offend the Girl Scouts, but are those cookies that good?
They are good.
The vanilla ones are good. The vanilla, is it the vanilla wafers? Is that what they are?
I don't know. Vanilla style. Thin Mints classic. I like the tagalongs.
I'm not a big Thin Mints guy.
No?
Mm-mm.
I do have a new favorite this year, the Samoa. It's like coconut caramel chocolate.
Wow. See, that doesn't do it for me.
No?
The Dosey Does, those are good.
Those are good.
That's what Michael has.
That's what he had in there.
Yeah. Well.
I do want to say this is kind of funny. Last year, my girlfriend bought one box of Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And me and everyone she knew gave her a load of crap.
Because you can't just buy one box.
You can't just buy one box.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? She's like, I just wanted to be nice. No. You'd be nice and you buy 10 bucks. That's a rule.
How much is a box?
Like $3 or $4.
Okay, so it's not too bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Plus it goes to
good cause.
Good cause.
Good cause. The Girl Scouts.
I like Girl Scout cookies.
Do you buy them? You buy a lot?
This year we did buy a lot. We bought like 10 bucks.
Did she learn her lesson?
She did.
She's like, okay, I'm going to buy
And
a
then
ton
we
kind of
made fun of her for buying too many, possibly.
So she's got a mica problem.
Mica problem. That, except she shares.
Yeah.
She's been sharing.
Oh, that's good, at least. Yeah, not everybody's totally a jerk about it, like Michael back there.
There's one back here.
When it comes to the cookies.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. My wife likes them, too. I've just never been a big... I'm not a big cookie guy. So yeah. I guess that's a little unfair for me to say I don't like Girl Scout cookies. I'm not a big cookie guy.
I mean, they should do like a Girl Scout beer or something.
Yeah,
like
that'd be cool. Yeah.
That might really get you going.
Set up at a brewery or something. Well, we're getting all these requests that I should, the next review, to review Eileen's cookies.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't like cookies. So how would that come across?
It'd be an honest review.
Yeah, it would be. I shouldn't say I don't like cookies. Like, I'll take a bite of a cookie and it's fine. But that's not one of my go-tos.
Interesting.
I go for the wings and the chips and all that stuff. I'm not
salty.
I'm not a sweet guy.
Not sweet.
Yeah. I'm sweet enough, Colfang.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Eastside Chris, take Trey Lance, get Gordon out, get Christian McCaffrey with draft picks, and $50 million working for the Rockies. They won yesterday. The Rocks are on fire. Are they 2-1, I think, in spring ball? Is that right? Oh, my goodness. We're hearing that... that Trevor Story, that extension's probably not going to happen, which just adds injury to insult, I think. How about this one, Colfax? Nuggets could be connected to Pelicans wing J.J. Redick, according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. Denver has inquired about the veteran sharpshooter. What would that take? I'd be very curious to see what this would take. The tweet was, I've heard two other teams that could be connected to J.J., and a potential trade, and that's Denver and Dallas. Redick, of course, a sharp shooter, 41.5% three-point shooter. He's not there. He's like at 37 now this year, I think. They've kind of been okay at shooting threes, middle of the road, middle of the pack, as far as the Nuggets go. But they're fifth in the league now. I mean, they're rolling with the three-pointers. So if you have another guy that can shoot... Maybe so. Who would you trade? You'd have to probably Will Barton would be a part of that trade. He is owed $13.7 million in 2020-2021. Has a player option next season. And you got to imagine if he's here, he's going to pick that up if it's a player option. So I think Barton would be a part of that. Who else? I mean, is Gary Harris part of that? Is it just a straight-up trade? Now, again, according to DenverStiffs.com, they're basically saying, I don't see a Redick-Barton swap as an upgrade for Denver. Going after a guy like Redick would just be shooting. Barton has been... He has regressed, though. I mean, he's still going to... He'll have his games. He has some of those games where you go, all right, there's the Barton we kind of remember. I mean, he had 14 points and 8 boards, 5 assists last night. So he can still be a productive player. Do you upset the apple cart here? Do you go out and make a change where it could? I mean, you're just now starting. I mean, won 3 in a row. Take this Pacers game and you've won, what, 4 out of the last 5 or 5 out of the last 6, whatever that is. You're starting to get it right and then you go into the break. I don't know. I'm very hesitant because, again, in order to get one of the big-time players, you're going to have to trade a big-time player that you have. That's not happening. Just through my last few conversations, my chat with Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets, I do not think the Nuggets are even close to considering moving any of their big three. Obviously not Joker. Obviously not Murray. And no, as much as we asked in frustration, I do believe that for now, they are committed to this Michael Porter Jr. experiment as far as, hey, we need these guys to be our big three. So I just, is it worth moving a guy like Barton for, would you go with a J.J. Redick? Is that move one of those moves that could actually push the Nuggets past it? Only Brady can start something with, I don't mean to offend Girl Scouts. That's true. Yeah. You know, start a segment like that. I'm not trying to. Do they make them or something? Like, where do they get them? How come I can't get them outside of just talking to the Girl Scouts?
I'm really curious if you can just buy them online. I've never looked, but I imagine.
And that would probably be. Would you still be paying the Girl Scouts?
I wonder if you could, like, specify your area and be like, benefit girls in my area.
Yeah. That's the thing I want to know. Yeah, Colfax is going to do a little research on this.
Some research here.
Because why can't you just, why can you only buy them once a year from the Girl Scouts?
Yeah.
Do they make them? And if that's the case, that's child labor,
my
friend.
That needs to be looked into.
Yeah, I think we're like uncovering some crap here. And we need to be very careful with how we talk about this the rest of the show. What are you finding?
Oh, so this year, it's easier than ever to find cookie booths in your area or order cookies online.
Any time of year?
It doesn't say. Huh. I need to keep digging, but you can buy them online. Find cookies. Oh, enter your zip code. Look at that. Oh, wow.
You make a purchase.
Look at all these.
Oh, no. Colfax, there goes that paycheck. All right. You're going to keep digging into that. Yes. We'll figure something out. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. It's available at thewholeshow.com. What would you like the Broncos to do with that ninth pick? Package it, part ways with it. Now, Zach Stevens told us something interesting, Colfax, on Monday. He said, and we know this, right? If you get into the draft, like once the draft starts, if you were to trade, you can now acquire the fourth first round or a fourth first round pick. So right now, you can only trade this year's pick, next year's pick, and the year after. You can do up to three first rounders or three in 3 years, basically. But once the clock turns over and it's draft day, you can now trade for the following as well. So you could end up getting four first round picks. So if you're Houston, are you waiting for that day? Are you waiting for draft day to make that trade if you are going to hang on? I am really intrigued by how this whole thing is going to happen. It's going to go down with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. 30 minutes after the hour, will the Buffs win the regular season title? I don't really know. I have no idea. I don't think that mathematically it can happen, but Mark Johnson knows a hell of a lot more than I do. We'll bring him on next, the voice of the Buffs. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
All right, don't worry. We ended up finding the coffee somehow, Colfax. We retraced our steps and did a little detective work, and you were able to find it.
It's in the basement.
It's in the basement.
I don't know how it got down there.
The place is creepy. A radio station basement is a weird place to
be. Lots of weird stuff from ages gone past.
We apparently do not believe in throwing anything away here. Nobody throws anything away.
No.
Mark Johnson could probably tell us about that, working in the radio biz. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs. Is that the case with most radio stations? Nobody throws things away here.
No, because you never know when you're going to use an 8-track tape ever again. You know, you got to make sure it's down there. That copy of Fog Hat from 1976, an 8-track, you never know when the format's going to change. You might want to bring that one back.
It's like we're all like American pickers around here, man. We don't want to part with any of our stuff. We're just a bunch of weird people that have basement props all over the place. It's
great. By the way, as I moved around the country, I frequently, when I got to a new place, as I was working my way up the ladder, I went to a number of different markets. I would go into, the shed out back or the basement or wherever that area was, that radio station. I picked up some pretty cool stuff over the course of time. Because I'd walk up at some point, after I'd been there a while, I'd walk up to the engineer, the GM, and say, hey, I was looking at such and such downstairs. Take it out of here. Get it out of here so it's just not laying down there. So I picked up some pretty cool stuff over the years.
Hey, you're welcome to pop by here at the station, Mark, and let me know. I can't imagine you're going to find anything, but who knows? Maybe you dig something up. All right, Mark, it takes me a while to figure things out here. I'm just trying to see this. I'm looking at the standings in the Pac-12. The Buffs have been rolling. I mean, since that Cal loss, and I know the Oregon game, but they find ways to beat USC, UCLA. Do they still have a shot to win the regular season title?
They do, but listen, it would be simpler for me at this point, I think, to describe, fifth-level geometry and geography, whatever it is. I mean, calculus. They still have a shot, but it takes an enormous amount of help. And so I think if you're Colorado right now, you're 13-6. Pick up the win tomorrow night against Arizona State. You're 14-6. I think they probably are going to finish third, is my guess, by the time it's all said and done. But there is a combination out there of USC, Oregon, and UCLA winning, losing against each other. That would work in the Buffs' favor and actually give them the championship But I tell you what, I've got a better – the odds are better if I go buy a ticket for the lottery tonight than that to happen. So that's how tough it would be for Colorado.
Well, what's crazy is, yes, it could be a long shot, but a week ago, Mark, 2 weeks ago, I'm thinking, well, that's it. They lost to Cal and then they lost to Oregon. They don't have a shot. We're not even going to be in this discussion. But with one game left, you're at least talking about it. And ultimately, it matters what you do in the Pac-12 tournament. But still, the fact that we're talking about them finishing no worse than fourth in the Pac-12, pretty phenomenal the way this team bounced back after the Cal loss.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And they are what we thought they were, right? I mean, we thought they were a top three or four team. We thought they had a chance to compete for the championship. All of that has become true. Their net number is fantastic. It's inside the top 15. You know, you win this one tomorrow night. You go into the tournament playing exceptionally well. Win that one, you're probably going to be in that, you know, 12 range in the net rankings and the KenPom somewhere up in that range. Go in there, make some noise in the Pac-12 tournament. Hey, listen, they're in the NCAA tournament. And I've seen the projections having them anywhere, you know, 5, 6, 7 seeds somewhere in there. If you do well in the tournament, you could work your way up to a 4 seed. You'd be sitting in a beautiful position. And so right now this team is, I think, playing its best basketball. I think defensively they're playing very well. I think offensively they're playing very well. I love the energy they're playing with. There's a purpose. McKinley Wright has got them playing with a purpose, I think, as the leader of this team. So listen, they're in a real nice position right now, Brady, heading into the postseason.
Yeah, and it, you know, again, I think when you and I talked about the Oregon game, I brought you up to Coach Boyle yesterday. I said, hey, Mark told us, hey, that was one of the better nights of sleep that you had after the Oregon loss, even though it was a loss. And it's amazing sometimes when you it sounds cliche, but you really can learn something from those losses. And Coach was happy with what he saw against Oregon. It was just one of those games, and they certainly have used it since.
Well, listen, when you're playing at the top level, okay, when you're playing Oregon's an NCAA tournament team, USC, UCLA, when they played Tennessee earlier this year, you know, you're not going to win all of those games. Other teams are very good. They've got very good coaches, very good game plans, very good rosters. And so, you know, you're going to have games like that where you play well on that night against Oregon. The Buffs didn't shoot the ball all that well. That's going to happen on occasion. Those are situations where you just kind of tip your hat. Okay, you know, you beat me on this night. You're a good team. We're a good team. The ones that get you are the, you know, the Utah loss where you give up an 18-point lead, the last, or 19-point lead, I guess it was, in the last 8.5 minutes, or you lose at Cal, or you lose at Washington. Those are the ones that really bother you because you don't take care of what you need to take care of in order to win those games. You don't perform the way you're supposed to. So when you go out and play a solid game, you do things that you're supposed to do. You play well defensively. You don't turn the ball over. You rebound well. And then ultimately, if you get beat by a very good team, you know, you're disappointed, but you're not frustrated. You're not losing sleep that night because, you know, somebody who's as good as you are is a top-level team. They beat you. Sometimes you just go, all right, you got me this time. I'll get you next time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, it's a tough conference, too, in the Pac-12.
Sure.
Mark, when you look at this Buffs, you and I started this the conversation earlier this year before the season started about Tad Boyle. Some of the naysayers out there wondering if Tad was the best that they could do, this Buffs team, which is just crazy to both of us. But how important, either way you want to slice it, how important was this season for the Buffs to get back into the tournament? Last year they probably would have, but we don't know for sure. How important was that for Coach Boyle specifically?
Well, I don't know I do know this. He was not in any danger in any way, shape, or form. From a public standpoint, the folks out there that are making those kind of comments, they're number one, they're not informed comments. Number two, they're not realistic comments when you start making comments about you know, this program. You've heard me say before, Brady, I've said it on your show, this is the golden era of Colorado basketball. This is the greatest sustained era they have ever had in this program, and Tad has done it. He's done it from a clean standpoint in terms of how he conducts his program. The character of this program has never been questioned. There's never been any problems with this program. I had a gentleman here, it was after the Cal loss, who dropped me a message and basically was, this is awful, it's got to end, we need to make a change, and on and on and on. And so I very calmly responded to him, back and forth probably 10 or 15 times. Well, would you be okay if the program had NCAA issues? Well, no, I don't want that. Well, would you be okay if they brought in bad character guys? No, I don't want that. Would you be? And so as we went down the list, he said no to everything, and I said, well, you've got everything you want right now on top of the program that every year is competing at the top level of the conference, is going to the NCAA on a more regular basis than this program's ever gone before, and yet you're complaining. I don't understand. So you just want the results of the programs that cheat and do it a certain way and are getting trouble with the FBI and all those sorts of things, but you want those results, but you want the character that Ted has. I said, do you think the issue is not so much Ted Ball, but maybe it's your view of things?
Mm.
And I think that's what people have got to remember here. Do you get frustrated when pick your program in this league, when USC, who, you know, got sucked into this FBI thing, or when Arizona got sucked in there, where Oregon got sucked into that thing, when they have a nice run and they get deeper in the tournament than you do, does that frustrate you? Yeah, I get it. But you know what you don't have? You don't have what's going on in Arizona right now where they're talking about, are they going to renew the coach down there because what's hanging over the top of that program? You don't have those kind of issues that you have to go through either. And so I just think that there's got to be a realistic understanding, and I think most importantly, Brady, an appreciation, an honest, objective appreciation for how Ted Boyle conducts himself, how he runs his program, the success he's having on a regular basis. I don't know if you heard the other night, during the UCLA game, I think it was, Troy Andre, the basketball sports information director, had put a little note in there and laid out, because Ted Boyle had gotten his 150th victory at home against USC. So you look at his record, his home record as a Buffalo head coach, I think he wins 86% of the time he takes the court at the University of Colorado. Non-conference winning percentage, I think, was 94%. Pac-12 home court winning percentage, I think, was 79. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so forgive me if I get a little bit wrong. But they were in those ballpark. And I said to Scott on the air, I said, those numbers have never been sniffed at this institution, and yet there are people that complain about what he's doing in this program. I think the fans that do frequently express those kind of thoughts need to really step back and reevaluate and understand exactly what they're talking about.
I mean, and all those numbers are just absolutely mind-blowing. And
getting
into the tournament itself is tough. And he's done it now five times, probably six if you would have counted last year.
Exactly right. And he's been here. So let's say you got to count last year because they were in the tournament, but the tournament gets canceled. That's 6 out of 11 seasons. 6 out of 11. So you're over 50% of the time. He has been in the postseason 10 of 11 years. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
I mean, that's unheard of. The 20-win seasons, which they could get tomorrow night, by the way, and I'm not going to remember this. I got to look this up for tomorrow night. But I think Ted has all but, I think it's two of them. He's got, he's already far and away the winningest postseason coach in Colorado history in 119 years or whatever it is they've been playing college basketball. I mean, just put it in context. And then step back. I've got a rule in life. I always say it out loud, right? Say it out loud and listen to yourself. Say it out loud. Run down the numbers that I just laid out for you. Say that out loud and then think to yourself, okay, how am I calling for somebody's job when they're having historic success?
Yeah, no, it's bizarre land for sure. I mean, what has he had? The one losing season, and by what, a game? It is crazy to me because this is what it's about. I mean, every year the Buffs have a shot to get in. Even if they don't get in, they at least have a shot. And getting into the conference, I mean, getting into to March Madness, that's a tough deal. It's a lot harder than I know there's a lot of teams that get in, but there's a lot of teams that don't.
There's no doubt about it. It's not easy to get there. Just being involved in the postseason is always enormous. And you know, listen, Ted Boyle will be the first one to tell you that it's time for this program to get beyond the second round of the tournament. He'll be the first guy to tell you that. I mean, so, you know, if I say that or you say that, we're not leveling an assessment or a critique point against the University of Colorado basketball program that's unfair. Tad's been saying that now for a couple of years. Now's the time for us to get beyond the second round of the tournament, to get to the Sweet 16, and then who knows what happens after that. And so he understands that. He's putting more pressure on himself than anybody does in that regard. So he fully understands that. We all understand that. So I just think you've got to have some objectivity and be honest and, I think, fair about your assessment with Ted. Would you like to see the loss at Cal not happen? Yes. Would you like to see this team get to the Sweet 16? Without question. But you're not alone in those kind of assessments either. But that doesn't overshadow the reality of what this program is in the last 11 years under Ted Boyle.
Mark, before we let you go, where do you see this team going as far as seed? What do you see ultimately? Obviously, there's got to be some damage done in the Pac-12 tournament, but they're getting in. Do you have a prediction as far as that seed that they'd receive?
Well, I'll say this. So if you get the win tomorrow night, now you're 20 and 7. So, and think about that. You've gotten the 20 wins on a shortened schedule, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally you're playing about 32 games. So you're five fewer than that. So they're going to get the 20 wins. They should tomorrow night. So if you get that one and you go into the dance and let's say you win one. Let's just go worst case scenario, win one. Now you're at 21-7. Your net's going to be somewhere inside the top 15. They will be looking at, I think, probably a 6 or 7 seed. And that's my guess. Now, if things really, you never know what's going to happen around the country. If things kind of tilt a little different way, I mean, who knows? They might get a break and get up to a 5 seed. That might be a little bit high, but it could happen. And, you know, I think if they do what I just laid out, they win the next two ball games. I think they're out of that 8-9 game. I don't think they fall into that one. And, you know, you never like that 8-9 game because of what happens in the second round. So I think they've got a real chance to get out of that position and get into that 6-7 range.
Yeah, I think I was looking this morning, the bracketology, even a 5-6, something like that. So we'll see, man. I think the Buffs, when they're at their best, I think they could beat anybody. And who knows? We'll see how deep this team can really go. Mark, always appreciate you, my friend. And we'll catch up with you next week, conference tournament time.
I look forward to it.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Think about all those numbers, Mark, just fired off. I'm trying to find that email because it's phenomenal. I mean, he's a great coach. I mean, Colfax, you always want a shot. You just want a shot every year. Tad Boyle, his first year, 24-14. They didn't go, which was ridiculous. They went 24 games, didn't go to the tournament. The next year, 24-12, they did go. They got in as an 11th seed. He went 21-12. The following year, they got in, lost in the second round. 23-12, they got in, lost in the second round. Didn't make it in 2014. That was their worst year, 16-18. That was his worst year as a Buffs head coach, basically a 500 record. The next year, they went right back. They went to the tournament. They lost in the first round. They were 22-12. Well, since then, they haven't made it in. They haven't been in since the 15-16 season. But all the seasons after that, they went 19-15, 17-15. But then these were the two controversial years. 23-13, they didn't get in. 21-11, they did. At one point last year, they were a top 10. They were top 16. They made it 16. And they probably would have gotten in. But, you know, you kind of scrapped that year. Nobody got in. It depends on who you ask. But I think they would have gotten in even with the bad finish. This year, they're getting in again. So Tad Boyle has been to 5 national tournaments, you know, and again, assuming this one happens, probably 6 if you want to count last year. 52 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're wrapping up hour number one. Don't forget, CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker will be on the show this afternoon. Don't miss it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. Totally went through that break. Busted through that segment. Great chat with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. If you missed it, you can always get our podcast at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. Coming up next, more on the Denver Nuggets, our Power to Play Sports poll question also. What should the Broncos do with number 9? And we're going to have CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker on the show. Let's talk about the Mountain West Conference. Let's talk about that conversation and his thoughts on basically this whole fiasco going on between New Mexico and San Diego State. All right, second hour coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.